The passage we'll be looking at today is 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. 1 John chapter 5, let's read beginning in verse 6 through 9. The Bible says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son." In verse 6, John says, "This is he that came by water and blood." He's talking about Jesus. Jesus came, that is, he revealed and showed himself to be the Messiah, especially by water and blood. The water here refers back to his baptism. John the Baptist came baptizing in the Jordan River, and he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. And in Matthew chapter 3, the Bible says that Jesus came to him to be baptized by John the Baptist in the river of Jordan. In Matthew chapter 3, when John the Baptist baptized him, the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him. So there was a visible confirmation that Jesus was the Son of God after he was baptized. And not only was there a visible demonstration, but there was an audible attestation. And that is that God spoke from heaven in Matthew 3, verse 17. "A voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" So Jesus came by water. That is, he was baptized in water. Why? Well, the Bible gives us two reasons. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus himself said that he was being baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And righteousness is the teaching and the requirements of God. So Jesus was fulfilling that. Now, Jesus was baptized for a reason different than the other people that John was baptizing. John was baptizing other people for the remission of sins, but Jesus didn't have any sins. But this is really no different from Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he didn't observe that supper in memory of his death because he hadn't died yet. Now, we today observe the Lord's Supper to commemorate Jesus' death. Jesus did it in prospect, not in retrospect. So even though Jesus observed the Lord's Supper for a different reason, he did institute it. And in the same way, although Jesus had no sins to be remitted, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. But there's something else that the Bible says about the reasons for Jesus' baptism. In John chapter 1, verse 31, John said, "I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water." Jesus was baptized so that he would be made manifest to Israel in a special way, with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit coming upon him and with this voice from heaven. Jesus was publicly demonstrated or made known to be the Son of God. And John says that Jesus came not simply by water, but he came by blood. In other words, he's talking about the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. He's talking about Jesus' death. And in that special way, God bore witness of who Jesus was. Jesus proved himself to be the Messiah also by his death on the cross. Because when he died on the cross, he fulfilled Old Testament types and prophecies. He fulfilled Old Testament types in that all these animal sacrifices that had been offered for all those years were completed in him. That's why John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. Those lambs that were offered in the Old Testament pointed to the ultimate Lamb of God, which was Jesus. Jesus fulfilled all of that through his blood, through his death on the cross. And there were many prophecies of Jesus' death in the Old Testament. In Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, and in many other Old Testament passages, the Bible foretold the death of Jesus. So Jesus came, that is, he was publicly displayed to be the Son of God for those who were honest with the evidence by water at his baptism and by blood at his death on the cross. John goes on to say in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, and it is the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, that bears witness because the Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit bore witness to Jesus. That means he testified of Jesus. He did that through Old Testament prophecies. He did that during Jesus' lifetime, not only when he descended upon Jesus when he was baptized, but also through the miracles that Jesus did and the miracles that the apostles did. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 28, that he performed these miracles by the Spirit of God. And when the apostles did these miracles, they were also bearing witness to him being the Son of God. But it didn't stop there. As a matter of fact, it increased because the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on Pentecost Day, and they spoke in tongues and did other miracles, and also the apostles gave other Christians the power to work miracles through the Holy Spirit. And so as John wrote these words, the Holy Spirit was still bearing witness. He was still testifying. But there's something else that the Holy Spirit continues to do, and that is that the Holy Spirit gave the Bible. The Holy Spirit gave the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit gave the New Testament. And as the New Testament is with us, the New Testament bears witness of who Jesus is. We have the record of Jesus' life, and we have the record of Jesus fulfilling Old Testament prophecies. And in addition to all that proof, Paul and Peter and other writers in the New Testament talk about the fact that they had seen Jesus after his resurrection. You have eyewitness testimony from those men. So the Spirit bears witness because he is truth in so many different ways. In verse 7, John says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." I realize that there's a question about the text here, but this statement that is made about the Father and the Word, that is, the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaches a truth that is firmly established and clearly taught throughout the New Testament. And that is the idea of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the idea of what is many times called the Trinity. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." This idea of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is taught throughout the Bible. So in spite of the question about the text here, this is something that is indisputably taught throughout the Scriptures. And then in verse 8, he says, "For there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit in the ways that we've talked about, and the water, that is Jesus being baptized, and the events that surrounded that as well." Not simply Jesus being baptized in water, but everything that went with that, and the blood. That is, Jesus dying on the cross, fulfilling Old Testament prophecies, and shedding his blood for the remission of sins. And these three agree in one: the Holy Spirit, Jesus' baptism, and Jesus' death on the cross. It's important to remember that in this section, John is talking about the evidence of Christianity. He's talking about the proof of the Christian religion. That's why you see the word witness here. The word witness is just another English word for testimony. And the testimony here is not coming from mere humans. It is not simple human testimony that establishes the Christian religion. Anybody can say, my religion is true because I believe it in my heart. Anybody can say, you ought to accept my religion because I feel it in my heart and because of my experience. People talk about their testimony, they talk about their witness that they share with other people, and they base it on their own human experience. John is not talking about that kind of testimony. John says that there is objective, real testimony from God Himself. And that's what he mentions here in these verses. And you find that we can look at that evidence and we can see that God is, that Jesus is His Son, and that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. John sets forth a principle about this evidence in verse 9 that we need to remember. It is simple, it is common sense, and we can see it on every hand in human experience. He says in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, and that means the testimony of men, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. John is saying that we believe some things because people have told us those things. And the Bible itself says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. So we can know some things because people have testified or people have told us. Now you might say, well, you can't believe everything that you hear because sometimes people lie. That's true. But just because you can't believe everything that you hear doesn't mean that you cannot believe anything that people say. Reliable testimony from credible, trustworthy witnesses is a valid source of knowledge. And Jesus Himself showed that when He went to His disciples after His resurrection and He rebuked them because His disciples did not believe those women who had told them that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Now what John is saying is this. If we depend on and we accept the testimony of men about so many different things that we have not been party to directly, then we need to understand that the witness or the testimony of God is even greater. That simply means that there are some things that we accept because people tell us. We have read that Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492. We read about and hear about the Revolutionary War. We read about Robert E. Lee, Ulysses S. Grant. We read about the Great Depression, the sinking of the Titanic. We hear about Shakespeare and so many different things. Does that mean that we cannot know that those things or that those people lived? Obviously, we can know. And what John is saying is this. If we accept human testimony in those matters, we need to remember that the testimony, that is, the proof that God gives, is even greater. This is written to encourage Christians, to assure us of the truthfulness of the Christian religion. But it also answers something and it exposes something in skeptics and in atheists. Skeptics and atheists demand proof that God exists. They demand proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they demand proof that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But they don't demand the same level of proof when it comes to many everyday matters, which are far less serious. They accept what people say. They read something and they believe it. They don't question it. But when it comes to the Bible and when it comes to the Christian religion, they scrutinize the evidence that we offer. And it's a strange thing that men would demand such a high level of proof from the Bible when they don't demand that same kind of evidence from everyday matters. And that shows their dishonesty. The Bible says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater.